Okay, let's unpack this. You know, a tremendous amount of insight comes from diving into these deep, complex systems. And today, we're looking at something, well, maybe one of the most unexpected parts of the journey. What happens when the striving stops? Mm-hmm. We're officially moving into the F, or freedom, stage of the RAFT program.
That's absolutely right. And our mission in this deep dive is to really explore Chapter 35 of the RAFT program, which introduces appreciative joy, or mudita.
Right.
So for everyone following the four stages, recognize, abandon, freedom, and train, we are now looking at the right response, the appropriate emotional response to that moment of freedom.
The moment we actually step away from compulsive behavior.
Exactly. And this isn't just, you know, a nice bonus. The RAFT program frames this joy as a fundamental part of the structure.
It's the third resilient rope binding the raft together, isn't it?
It is. It's a really critical pivot point because this whole F stage is linked to Gautama, the Buddha's third realization.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom from harmful cravings, aversions, all that confusion, it's not just some far-off goal.
It's something you can experience right now.
You can personally experience and verify it. And joy is the heart's confirmation that the journey, that this whole process is actually working.
So if freedom is the goal, why is joy defined as the appropriate response? Is it just general happiness, or is there something more specific going on here?
That's a great question, because it functions as a kind of corrective mechanism. Appreciative joy, or mudita, is defined as this intentional, outward-facing gladness.
Okay.
It responds specifically to well-being and skillful action, both on ourselves and in other people. We're training the mind to notice goodness.
So it's an active acknowledgement, not just a passive feeling.
Precisely. The key insight here is that this gladness, it functions as a truly wholesome reward system. When we've abandoned unwholesome states, you know, when we successfully step back from that pull of compulsive behavior, a really subtle lift in the heart just arises.
And that's the core distinction we need to focus on, right? The difference between joy from abandonment versus joy from getting something.
Yes. The joy of mudita comes from letting go, not from getting. Think about that temporary, almost giddy excitement of buying something new or winning some argument.
That's all based on acquisition. It's conditional.
It's totally conditional. Appreciative joy, though, is that unconditional relief and gladness from just releasing a burden. It sets it completely apart from what the RAFT program calls patterns of escape.
And that makes it sustainable.
It's sustainable because it doesn't need anything external to happen.
Okay, so that makes the whole raft metaphor much clearer. The world is full of these compulsions. That's the dangerous shore we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, then, isn't just celebrating being on the raft, but celebrating the feeling of actually moving away from that danger.
Exactly. In the raft metaphor, appreciative joy is that shared celebration when the vessel catches a good wind, or experiences that smooth sailing in moments of non-craving.
We're just seeing the safe shore getting closer.
Right. And that internal wholesome feeling strengthens the appropriate response rope. It makes the whole voyage feel worthwhile, even when things get tough.
Now, you mentioned this joy is cultivated and steady. The RAFT program also talks about another kind of joy, a more spontaneous kind. How do we keep those two separate?
It's a subtle but really important distinction. Right now, we're focusing on appreciative joy, which is foundational. It's the intentional practice of deliberately rejoicing in goodness. It's warm, it's steady.
And you can call on it.
You can. The other type is energetic joy, which is more spontaneous. It's that natural uplift or zest that arises later as practice deepens.
Mm.
But we have to build the foundation of appreciation first.
I think the most challenging part for anyone trying this is navigating the obstacles. What are the common misunderstandings or the active blocks that stop this joy from taking root?
We can categorize them as near and far enemies. The far enemies are actually pretty easy to spot. Envy and jealousy.
Right.
That's when the heart just tightens up, believing happiness is scarce or competitive. You know, someone else succeeds and your mind immediately goes, I wish I had that.
Mm. So if the far enemy is jealousy, believing there's only one slice of the pie, appreciative joy is recognizing there's an infinite bakery.
That's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah.
Now, the near enemy is much, much trickier because it feels positive, but it's deeply conditional.
Okay.
This is exuberance or giddy excitement that's rooted in a pleasant experience. And most importantly, it's tied to attachment, to the hope that the pleasure will last.
Okay, wait. Can you give us a tangible scenario for that? How do you know if your good feeling is that attached exuberance or actual selfless joy?
Sure. Let's consider this. Imagine you get some fantastic news, a huge bonus, maybe a major accolade. You feel that immediate rush, that giddiness.
You want to tell everyone.
Exactly. That's the near enemy. Mm-hmm. And while it's pleasant, it's conditional. If the bonus gets delayed or the recognition fades, the joy just crashes.
It's fragile. It's based on external validation.
It is. Authentic appreciative joy, on the other hand, is that steady, quiet satisfaction you feel when you see a friend achieve their goal. Or when you just recognize the courage you showed in overcoming some small personal compulsion earlier today. It's selfless.
That distinction really highlights that teaching from Gotama in the RIFT program. Quote, from freedom, from remorse, comes gladness. From gladness, joy.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests true joy isn't something you manufacture. It's the natural result of living with integrity.
That's the joy of blamelessness, the Anavachapiti, and it's the cornerstone of resilience.
Mm.
If your joy is based on integrity, no one can take it away from you.
Okay, now here's where it gets really important and often really challenging. Appreciative joy has to be directed inward, too.
Yes.
We have to celebrate ourselves, which is notoriously difficult for people. But isn't there a risk that this just feeds the ego, that it leads to arrogance?
That is the essential question, isn't it? Self-appreciation means genuinely appreciating our own efforts, our small successes, without any false modesty. Mm-hmm. And here's why it's not arrogance. Arrogance is tied to comparison, to being better than someone else. Self-appreciation is tied to the honest recognition of effort and intention. We're appreciating the skillful action, not the persona or the outcome.
So we're not patting ourselves on the back for being better than someone. We're validating the choice we made to be skillful in that one moment.
Exactly. That validation is absolutely essential for building self-worth and sustainable motivation. We need to build that inner warmth.
And this is where modern psychological approaches just align perfectly with this ancient practice.
Completely. I mean, if you look at compassion-focused therapy, CFT, the entire framework is about building that inner warmth and kindness by appreciating your own goodness.
And CBT, too.
From a cognitive behavioral therapy perspective, yeah. Celebrating successes, even the tiny ones, is how we reinforce the neural pathways for desired actions. We're literally programming ourselves for healthy patterns by providing an internal wholesome reward.
I love that framing. It turns self-appreciation into a tool for mental health, not just a spiritual thing to do. That's why that Pema Chodron quote is so powerful. Rejoicing in yourself is not arrogance, but sanity.
And the biological payoff is profound. Neuroscience shows that cultivating positive emotions like joy and appreciation, it engages healthy reward pathways, dopamine and oxytocin release.
Well, the right pathways.
The right ones. It promotes motivation and connection without stimulating those frantic, compulsive craving systems that we're trying to abandon. It's a healthy, sustainable internal fuel source.
It's the neurological version of joy coming from letting go, not getting.
Precisely. This is the foundation of Barbara Fredrickson's broaden and build theory. Positive emotions literally broaden our cognitive perspective. We become more creative, more open to solutions, and ultimately far more resilient.
All right, so if we're ready to put this into practice, let's get practical. For listeners who want to intentionally cultivate this, what are the steps? It needs to feel approachable.
The practice starts very gently. We begin by focusing where appreciation arises most naturally, and then we gradually, deliberately extend that circle outward.
So step one. Find the easy button.
Yes, exactly. Start with someone easy. Bring to mind someone, a friend, a child, whose happiness just naturally brings you gladness. Sit with that. Mm. Dwell on their good fortune and feel that warmth bubble up.
And then you use phrases to kind of anchor that feeling.
They anchor the intention. For instance, you could use that beautiful Sri Lankan blessing from the program. I delight that you are here. I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue and increase. You just let the words resonate with the feeling.
And then the difficult part, pivoting that inward. How do we move from celebrating someone else to celebrating ourselves without our inner critic just shutting it down?
That's the next step. Extend to self. Self-appreciation. You reflect on your own efforts, your positive qualities, maybe even a tiny moment of awareness where you managed to stop yourself from reacting today.
It has to be gentle.
It must be gentle. If the phrases sound arrogant in your head, you can use softer ones, like those suggested by Christina Feldman. How wonderful I am in my being. I delight that I am here.
It sounds like we need to treat ourselves with the same open-heartedness we'd offer to that easy, beloved person.
That's the goal, to bridge that gap. And once that core feeling is established, and you can genuinely feel gladness for your own goodness, Then you widen the circle.
What does widening the circle involve?
You extend the practice gradually to neutral people, someone you see often but have no strong feelings about, a cashier, a neighbor. And only when you feel really grounded and steady, then you can try extending it toward people you find difficult.
And finally, moving this off the meditation cushion and into real life.
Daily life integration is everything. Use mindfulness to notice where that gladness, that warmth is felt in your body during the day, and then look for opportunities to reinforce it. Notice when a coworker does well, or you see a stranger's kindness.
Keeping a joy journal, maybe?
Even keeping a simple joy journal reinforces this wholesome habit until it becomes a reflex.
That makes the cultivation of joy feel like a deliberate skill that pays continuous internal dividends.
It is the skilled and appropriate response to liberation. It's the heart saying, thank goodness we are free of that burden.
So what does this all mean? Appreciative joy is the resilient inner confirmation that we are finding freedom from the pull of compulsive and reactive behaviors. It's the wholesome reward that counters the mind's natural tilt towards cynicism and envy, strengthening our raft for the continuing voyage.
And this is how we ensure that the moments of freedom we find are celebrated and reinforced, making the whole journey sustainable.
Before we leave you with a final thought, we do want to acknowledge that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which is the basis for this entire program, was written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. They are making all 66 chapters freely available online. You can access the full program at rafttofreedom.org.
And as you move forward with this practice of appreciative joy, consider this for your own self-reflection. When you attempt self-appreciation, what typical thoughts, emotions, or forms of resistance tend to arise for you? Just reflect on where your heart tightens and where it naturally opens when you witness goodness.
We'll leave you with this thought that builds on the idea of radical acceptance, which is so needed to appreciate the good that is already here.
Radical acceptance is the willingness to experience ourselves and our lives as they are. Only then can our natural joy and belonging shine through. Tara Brach.